Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Update. If you've missed the news today, don't worry. We'll bring you the highlights in under 30 minutes, which tonight includes the Department of Infrastructure laying out its transport plan for the next decade. So what's in it and what needs to happen to make it work? We'll hear all about that. At the same time, there's a big question about the island's future overall. How should we be using our land and property? You've also got the chance to share your views on this one. We'll also hear tonight what's going on for Organ Donation Week, and we'll catch up with some Manx students who quite literally have had an out-of-this-world experience. We'll also look at the weather, the traffic and the travel. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you'd be more than welcome. You can email studio@manxradio.com or you can text us. It's 166177. We'll start with the news headlines with Amy Fastamai.
Government's laid out its aims to improve travel on the island. Improving road safety, supporting active travel and better external links all feature in its transport strategy for the next 10 years. However, there are no details about railways and trams included. The difficulties facing whistleblowers on the Isle of Man should be a wake-up call for all Timwald members, according to 1MHK. Tim Glover says those making disclosures are treated appallingly by government after compiling a dossier on the issue in 2023. Having recently updated the document, the Arbury Carstown and Maloo member says more still needs to be done.
Government should be welcoming whistleblowers and sorting it out at an early stage and making the improvements. They're ostracised right from word go.
The Cabinet Office Minister believes converting disused shops and office space in town centres into homes will feature in an ongoing consultation into the future of land use on the Isle of Man. David Ashford says it's a trend that's happening elsewhere.
I think that's something that will potentially come through this consultation as well, to be fed back about revitalising the town centre by having people actually living in the town centre.
The Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture is reminding people on the island that fly tipping is a criminal offence carrying a fine of up to £5,000. It's after a large amount of glass mixed with gardening and building materials was dumped near the Round Table near Dalby. To international news now, and a third charity's cut ties with the Duchess of York, saying their continued associations with her would be inappropriate. It's emerged Sarah Ferguson emailed a gushing apology to Jeffrey Epstein not long after publicly disowning him. Her spokesman says it was because the convicted paedophile was about to sue her. Body care's disappearing completely from our high streets. Administrators haven't been able to find a buyer for the beauty chain. That means its final 56 stores will shut this week, with the loss of a further 444 jobs. And Christian Horner's agreed a multi-million pound severance package with Red Bull, meaning he can return to Formula One next year. The team principal and chief executives left today after being sacked in July. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Amy. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Dry and bright this evening. Cloud gradually increasing, though. That will be the same overnight. Light, mainly northerly winds. Minimum temperature tonight will just be around 6 Celsius. Tomorrow, dry and bright. Areas of cloud at times, but light winds and top temperatures tomorrow around 15. And it's going to stay settled for the rest of the working week. Sunset this evening is at 7:18. Sunrise tomorrow morning will be 7:05.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
TE Cabin provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cabin, here when you need us.
At Bon Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bonfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452-688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just coming up to 5 past 5. Well, improving road safety, supporting active travel and better external links to and from the island. Just some of the aims set out in the Department of Infrastructure's transport strategy for the next 10 years, as Sean Cowper reports.
The document, which will be laid before Tynwald next month, highlights the department's goals and approach for tackling challenges and opportunities from 2025 to 2035. Its aims include cutting the number of deaths and serious injuries on the island's roads, improving accessibility to transport, and improving public health by encouraging more people to cycle and walk. The document also pledges to enhance and maintain highway assets, such as roads, footpaths and cycle lanes, and look at legislation around micromobility, which includes the likes of e-bikes and e-scooters. The strategy also commits the DOI to facilitate the adoption of zero emissions vehicles and support research on automated vehicles. For those looking to travel to and from the island, the report says the department will develop and improve external links. For air, this includes more support for those with reduced mobility and encouraging passengers to use public transport when getting to and from Ronald's Way. Looking at harbours, the strategy highlights the need to electrify commercial harbours to remove the need for fossil fuel generation in port and commits to update the 2018 harbours strategy. Upgrades to the bus fleet will continue, including future zero-emission technologies, and there will be strategic changes to the bus network, including bus prioritisation at junctions. No details about railways and trams have been included in the strategy. The strategy says the island must be flexible to deal with demographic changes, including government's target of welcoming 500,000 visitors each year. It also states the cost of maintaining transport infrastructure has risen, creating a challenge to the department's ability to bring forward enhancements.
That is Sean Cowper reporting. You can find this on our social media pages. There's some really interesting thoughts on there already, so do feel free to share yours. 7 minutes past 5. Well, the difficulties facing whistleblowers on the Isle of Man should be a wake-up call for all Tynwald members. That's from an MHK who's put together a dossier on government's approach to whistleblowers and what he thinks needs to change. Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK Tim Glover is calling for more to be done to support those who raise concerns. Again, Sean has been talking to him and asked first if he was surprised more hadn't been done.
I am, and I've circulated it to all Tynwald members, and I think from what they're hearing as well from Mr. Robert Shaw and also from reading the recent tribunal cases, which I'm glad to say have had good publicity from the media, this is a real wake-up call. A wake-up call to all Tynwald members that this situation needs, the boil needs to be lanced here, because otherwise you will, mark my words, have another Rosslyn Ransom case on your hands.
What's the blockage to the progress here then? It's as you've said, these aren't new issues being raised. Why hasn't there been more done?
I really don't know. I think there's a real fear of weaknesses within government being exposed, and at all costs that must never come out. I don't know what it is, but government should be, rather than trying to bury everything away, they should be welcoming whistleblowers and sorting it out at an early stage and making the improvements so that another whistleblower in that area doesn't come through. And that just doesn't seem to happen. They're ostracised right from word go.
That is Tim Glover, MHK, who is talking to Sean there. Well, we have had a statement from the Isle of Man government in relation to this. It reads, "The Isle of Man government remains committed to working with its employees across the whole organisation to address any performance issues and any concerns that are raised informally and constructively. There are occasions," it says, "where this is not possible or relationships deteriorate, and there are procedures in place to support such situations. Government would always encourage any employees with concerns to raise these and has a range of formal and informal mechanisms in support. It is not government policy to comment on individual cases, and we are unable to comment on remarks made by the chair of the Employment and Equality Tribunal." It is quite a lengthy statement. You can read it in full on our website. It's coming up to 10 past five, and as we've just been hearing in the news this afternoon, the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture is reminding people on the Isle of Man that fly tipping is a criminal offence. Now, this comes after a recent incident near Dalby. Amy is with me now. Amy, what's happened here?
Well,
Well, fly tipping is unfortunately not uncommon here, and we've had another case reported. This time, a large amount of glass, gardening and building materials were dumped a short distance from the Round Table Road. DEFA has shared some pictures online, and you can see there's some massive panes of glass just dumped in the middle of the track, along with lots of smashed glass and debris as well.
And we know that fly tipping can be dangerous, can't it? Especially when we're dealing with something like glass.
Well, exactly. And DEFA says not only is it illegal, but it can pose serious risks to the natural environment, including to protected upland habitats and watercourses, wildlife and livestock, which may eat or be injured by the materials, and also recreational users and their pets, so dog walkers, for example.
So it is a criminal offence. Would you be able to tell us what the legal definition of fly tipping is?
So it's described as the illegal deposit of any waste onto land that does not have a licence to accept it. So it's said to be a breach of both the Public Health Act of 1990 and the Litter Act of 1972, and it can carry penalties ranging from £2,500 to a maximum of £5,000.
So I guess the question is, how can people prevent fly tipping from happening in the first place?
Well, DEFA says anyone who's getting rid of rubbish or is arranging for waste to be removed from their properties should check how and where it's being disposed of. In some cases, you may have to pay to bin it, but that is considerably cheaper than a fine. And if you see anyone fly tipping, you should report it immediately to your local authority.
Amy, thank you very much indeed. Again, more on that story at manxradio.com. 11 and a half minutes past five. So could more of us be living in the town centres on the Isle of Man in the future? Well, it's something the Cabinet Office Minister says he expects to come up in an ongoing consultation into the Manx Government's strategic plan. Now, this document sets out what the island would look like in the future, including how land and properties are used. Here's David Ashford, MHK.
It's a fundamental change in the way people live their lives. I am of that age where I can actually remember, you know, the bakers, the, you know, the butchers, and you being able, and the groceries, you know, you're able to go to the different shops and be able to buy the goods in different stores. I think one of the important things as well around, particularly if we talk town centres, is a lot of the world now is moving to actually having people, more people living in the town centres, converting office space and potentially shop space into livable dwellings. And I think that's something that will potentially come through this consultation as well, to be fed back about revitalising the town centre by having people actually living in the town centre. The 80s and 90s saw a shift of people, you know, moving out, not living above shops and so on, and moving out into more housing estates. We seem, certainly around most of the Western world in the last sort of 10 years, to be going back to the old style of people living above shops, there being accommodation there, and people living directly in the town centre, you know, giving that urban regeneration there. And I think that's something that will probably feed into this consultation. I'd be absolutely amazed if nobody mentioned that in their responses.
That is the Cabinet Office Minister David Ashford, MHK, and you can hear much more from him on this subject in the latest episode of Perspective, which you can get now as a podcast at manxradio.com. And if you would like to respond to that consultation, it's open until the 27th of October, and once again, you can find the link on our website.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, nothing to report on the police pages. There was an incident earlier in Croncavoddy, but that is all sorted now. So if you're travelling that way home, all is well. Just the usual, the mountain road closed from Brandywell to Cregna Bar. That's for drainage work and the removal of TT and MGP equipment. That stretch of road is going to stay shut until Monday, 20th of October. But businesses on the mountain are open as normal. And in Peel, just till tomorrow, that short stretch of Glenfaber Road closed near the new sewage treatment plant. But all being well, that should be lifted tomorrow. Looking down at the airport, all looking pretty good this evening, and then the steam packet as well. The Manxman is due into Douglas in around about half an hour, and it will be heading out again for Heysham at 7:15. The Mananan on its way to Liverpool, expected to get there at 5:30, and heading back here again at 7:15.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's coming up to 5:15. Now, landmarks across the Isle of Man are going to be lit up in pink this week, and it's to mark Organ Donation Week. That runs from today until next Sunday, the 28th of September. It's part of a campaign led by NHS Blood and Transplant, which is encouraging communities to turn the skies pink. Siobhan Fletcher has more details.
The initiative aims to raise awareness of the life-saving impact of organ donation. On the Isle of Man, there were 14 people waiting for a transplant as of the 31st of August this year. As of the 13th of July, there were 59,034 people residing in the Isle of Man postcode area who were on the UK Organ Donor Register. 58,050 of them registered as opt-in and 984 as opt-out. The following Isle of Man landmarks and buildings will glow pink this week: Nobles Hospital, Legislative Buildings, Douglas City Hall, City Centre, the Promenade and the Tower of Refuge, Ramsey Town Hall, Ramsey Courthouse and Ramsey Swing Bridge, the Roundhouse in Braddon, Maloo Commissioners and Port St Mary Town Hall. Government says the initiative holds particular significance as public health prepares to implement the Human Tissue and Organ Donation Act 2021, that's also known as Daniel's Law. Starting on the 1st of January next year, the island will transition to a system which means that all adults will be considered potential organ donors unless they actively opt out.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting there. It's really stark, isn't it, when you hear about the number of people waiting for a transplant here on the Isle of Man. And as ever, you can find out more about Daniel's Law on our website. Now, it is a year, would you believe, this week until thousands of us will be heading to the polls to vote in the 2026 House of Keys general election. But when it comes to you and how you feel your constituency MHKs have done, what would you say? And I guess more broadly, government itself. Well, Christian Jones has been taking a look ahead and finding out that question from some of you.
More shops on the high street. Yeah, because I normally shop online at the moment because there's not much choice around here, but
I know that they increased the preschool credit and we got the pre-preschool credit, which is great, but that doesn't even cover 2 school hour days in some of the nurseries in Douglas.
I don't think much is going to change. I think it's much of a muchness. Like most people, I'm concerned with the national health.
And drop curbs and things like that I'm having great difficulty with. One of the MHKs has been really good, but at the moment, it's if you're outside of Douglas, it's useless.
Trying to maintain the economy in a steady state so that we can all survive in it.
And now there are so many empty shops, and I can understand why, because a lot of people are now buying online, but we need to do something about tidying things up.
The one that's uppermost in my mind, which is an absolute basic essential, is the sort of chaos that is around the recycling.
You know, young people that want somewhere to live, houses, first-time buyers or rent. I mean, renting is horrendous.
They don't let you get on that ladder, and the price of housing used to be 10 grand a house. Then it was like 100 grand for minimum, you know, for something, and now it's just a joke price.
That is some of the thoughts of you on what you believe may be some of the election issues that we're going to be talking about ahead of the 2026 House of Keys general election. Should also remind you, the government conference is happening at the Villa Marina tomorrow and Wednesday. A chance to go along and hear from some of the members of government and other organisations and maybe give your thoughts on certain things. And on Wednesday, we are going to be launching a survey where we're going to be asking you what you think are going to be the main election issues. And a lot of the election coverage that we do are going to be based around your thoughts, so we'll keep you posted on what's happening with that. 18 and a half minutes past five. Well, the FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones insists he wasn't concerned at the prospect of facing the North Western Counties Football League top scorers at the weekend. The Ravens played out a well-fought 0-0 draw against Pilkington, who have scored 27 goals in the league so far. Paul Jones, whose side has had the worst offensive record with 36 goals conceded, said stopping the Pilks was not part of his pre-match talk.
It's just about us doing what we need to do for 90 minutes more consistently, and the players and I spoke about that on Thursday night. We haven't done any work on the training ground and they've gone and delivered the performance that we know they're capable of week in and week out. So it's a mentality thing, it's a decision-making thing, it's a willingness to do the hard yards. And no, it wasn't a conversation, because when we play like we've played today, then teams will find it very difficult to score against us. And I thought we played very well and we dominated the game. You know, another day, I think if we're winning games of football regularly in this division, we'd win that 2-0 with a little bit more confidence in the final third. But yeah, Pilkington, I think the top scorers are they in the league at the moment, and we managed them pretty comfortably, to be honest. A couple of stares right at the end is when we went down to 10 men, but we still took the game to Pilkington. And yeah, really happy. As you say, it was a difficult 20 minutes on Tuesday night, and I thought the lads have reacted fantastically well.
Looking forward now, a bit of a break. You don't have a game next weekend, but then back in league action the week after that. So what are the big
big lessons that you'll take from this week, getting that point, getting that clean sheet that you'll hope to take forward?
We're good enough. I said to the players, you're all good enough. You're all good enough to do it. The challenge is to do it consistently, game to game, and with a consistent group of players. So that's our challenge. You know, we know that the potential is there for this to be a really good group of players. I heard Tony there about time and patience required, and that is it. But there's also an element of making sure we can perform week in and week out to get the results required to demonstrate improvement. And you know, that's it. You know, the lessons are play like you're capable of it as a group, and you will get results in this game, in this level of football. And that's what we've got to keep working on over the next couple of weeks, and keep doubling down on all the conversations that we've had so far, and put the hard work in the training ground to make sure for Barnoldswick in a couple of weeks' time we're ready to go.
That's FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones talking to Rob there. It's just gone 20 past five. Just to remind you about some good news about the Patient Quiet Lounge at Liverpool John Lennon Airport. It is now staying in its temporary location permanently. Now, this is funded by the Manx Breast Cancer Support Group since 2017, and the facility is a place where anyone travelling to and from the UK for treatment can sit privately while waiting for their flight back to the island. It's been in its current home near security since the end of last year, after its future had been put in doubt by the airport's refurbishment plans. Julie Stokes from the charity says it's a great outcome for a much needed resource.
We've been using a temporary space at Liverpool Airport for our patient quiet lounge while we wait for our new permanent space to be ready. And we've heard last night that Liverpool Airport are now going to allow us to stay in the temporary space, which is amazing because it's absolutely spot on for what we need. It's right by everything the patients need when they come out of security and they're looking for the room. It's just there by Dwight Smith and the loos and everything. So we're really, really pleased. And we'd like to say a massive thank you to John Irving from Liverpool Airport and Lucy O'Shaughnessy, who've worked this all out for us. We are going to be refurbing the room and putting in some new furniture now we know that that's going to be our home. And we're just really, really excited moving forward that we've got such a great space for patients.
And just remind us why the room is so important to the people that need to use it.
It's massively important. When you have patients travelling at 7 a.m. in the morning and they're up maybe at 4 a.m. in the morning, and then they've got a whole day to spend at Liverpool till their flight home at 7 at night. They need a quiet space to be, they need a comfy chair, and they need to know that there's a safe place for them to just rest. And that's what we've got. And I can't thank Liverpool Airport enough.
And when there was a concern that the room might disappear, you could see how needed it is and how appreciated it is by the volume of people who came out and were supportive of the room and how much of a need there is for it.
So many patients are using the patient transfer service, and of course, you know, a lot of them are with carers. It's so much used, and it sounds like it's going to be continuing to be used more and more. It's really important that we have that space. It would be nice if we had also flights that sort of worked in a little bit better with people's appointments, but in the meantime, just having the space is a great thing.
Julie Stokes from the Manx Breast Cancer Support Group. Now, three sixth form students from Ballycommeen High School are back home after attending this year's United Space School in Houston, Texas. Guy McGuinness, Holly Patterson Hannay and Patrick Williams attended the international scheme, and the founder of it, Chris Stott, says the students from the island stand out in the programme every year.
Before we even had our first customer for the Isle of Man in the space industry, we'd founded the educational programme. Dr. Jennifer Stone was our first applicant. Every year we look forward to this, and it sounds really weird, but quoting Plato, or Plato, as it says in Max, to plan for a decade, plant a tree. But to plan for a century, educate your children. From the first one in Jennifer, now Dr. Stone, in the year 2000, every single year since, in 25 years, the Manx students have shone. And it's wonderful to see that self-confidence blossom. It's wonderful to see them apply the skills they've learned here in our schools. It is just really good to see, very heartening, to know that our students are some of the best in the world. We can say that. And again, thanks to the government and thanks to the Department of Education and Children, and thanks to our teachers in our schools. Sometimes very self-critical here on the island. But whatever it is we're doing something remarkable, that the rest of the human race goes, oh my goodness, who are these people from the Isle of Man? Why are they doing so much better or as good as some of these massive nations? Well, because my Manx fella.
That is Chris Stott there. Now, a Port Erin man has just celebrated his 106th birthday. Jim Parks, who lives at Southlands Care Home, reached the milestone on Friday. He shared the secret to his long life with Darren Timpson.
Nothing can really overtake nature. You just got to live each day.
That's all you can do. Well, I can't account for anything. You can't. No matter who you are, the days go on you, and that's it. The days just grow on you. You can't account for them.
Yeah.
You make the best of each day.
Are there any historical moments that stand out to you?
Well, obviously, the war, I can't pick out anything. I've just been lucky. Yeah. I've been lucky all my life. I have. I've got three good sons, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You can't wish for more. That really fills the full complement of living.
Jim is marvellous. He's an amazing man. He walks to Russian Church every day. He walks the length and breadth of the building every day, at least once, usually twice. He really enjoys, we have a pianist comes in on a Tuesday, he really enjoys music. He loves more modern music. He was singing along to Amarillo earlier on. He went to the Navy during the war and spent the rest of his career working for what was formerly known the Gas, Light and Coke Company in the UK, and then it became British Gas when it was nationalised. He married in 1951, his wife Joan. They had three sons, Neil, Alan and David, four grandchildren and three great-grandchildren. And he's been in with us for 2.5 to 3 years, and he just goes from strength to strength. He's just incredible, and he definitely knows his own mind.
That's the Resource Centre Manager at Southends, Rebecca Dooley. And before that, we heard from the extraordinary Jim Parks, who is talking to Darren, who is now here with the sports news. I mean, no less extraordinary, Darren.
Good evening. We'll start in football, as Corinthians, Russian United and Laxi all remain top of the Canada Life Premier League. Russian and the Miners played out a 0-0 draw, which left the Whites remaining on first on goal difference. They beat Old Boys 5-3 on Saturday. Elsewhere, Onken beat Ayr by 4-2, and Foxdale's woes continued with a 6-1 defeat to Braddon. On to the Arden and Drogon Division 2, where Castletown's perfect start to the new season continued. They beat Moran 6-2 and moved to 15 points in the table. Colby and Rycob also won on the weekend, while Maloo put 7 past Douglas and District. In the Canada Life Women's League, Corinthians scored 20 goals in their win over Union Mills on Sunday. Millie Dawson scored 6 for the Whites, who began their campaign at the weekend. Elsewhere, Douglas Royal also picked up their first points of the season. They beat Maloof 4-0. On to rugby, Douglas climbed the Regional 2 Northwest table with a 62-13 thumping of Altrincham Kersal at Portachie. Meanwhile, Vagabonds ladies were well beaten by Sale FC 1861. They lost 91-22 in the women's NC2 North-South. In hockey, Backers A made it 2 wins from 2 in the Mixed Premier League. They moved to 4 points after a resounding 11-0 win over Vikings B. Elsewhere, Backers B, Harlequins A and Castletown Celts all took victories on Saturday. The division's top two will meet next weekend as Backers A take on Harlequins. And Isle of Man professional boxer and WCBC belt holder Sam Rennie has announced 2 fights for later this year. Rennie, fresh off a technical knockout win over George Lamoli last August, will look forward to 2 fights in 2 months. He'll face Muay Thai fighter turned boxer Pei Thane Yu on the 4th of October in Phuket, Thailand. That'll be followed up by a bout against former regional champion Sunaroy Gamboa in Perth, Australia on the 28th of November. Rennie says the fight in November will be the toughest of my career so far. The marksman is currently 5-0 after making his professional debut in March 2024.
Darren, thank you very much indeed. We were talking about Jim Parks. You should go to the Manx Radio Facebook page and just have a look at the video that Darren did when he was at that birthday celebration last week. That's all from Update. Coming up next, it's Wild Man with Howard Kane, then Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.